Welcome to Empowering Chats with Susan Burrell. This is where we have deep, intimate conversations about self-empowerment and future existence. I am an intuitive healer and a light leader who has been called to activate other light leaders. So I'm curious, are you one of them? So by listening, lean in and see if you are ready to be that eternal potential you've been called to be. Using your bravery, your talents, your tenacity, can you be innovative and adventurous in order to activate your life and lead from that place? This is where we learn how to love ourselves from the inside out and love the whole world over and over again. Enjoy the show. Well, here we are coming into March, and the theme for March under B, potential, is funny enough, potential. So let's check in. Are you, have you been looking at what your potential is? Now, let me remind you, potential is about becoming, being capable of becoming, looking at latent excellence, something that is asleep within you, that is excellent, your talents, your abilities that need to be developed or realized. Have you been thinking about your potential? Are you opening to those talents, abilities, things that have been hidden that you brought with you, right? You brought with you, because last month we're talking about being an eternal being. You brought these talents and abilities with you so that you could fulfill your soul potential. You could be the potential. You've always been, everybody. We've always been it. But really fulfilling it this time, this year, 2024 is the time. So revisit any notes you took at the beginning of the year and see what else you need to explore or develop so that you can be your full potential. Enjoy the shows. So welcome to another episode of Empowering Chats with Susan Burrell. And this is the month that we're discussing potential. And so I'm honored and already enamored with this woman that I'm going to be speaking to. She is the author of Healing Trauma Through Family Constellations and Somatic Experiencing. And we're gonna find out about that, everybody. So I want to welcome Ifu Nyaki. Did I get that right?
You got it right, Susan. Thank you.
So Ifu, before we get into the meat of your book, explain to people what family constellations are, because I know I've interviewed a couple people about it, but I know that there'll be people that don't know. And then I want to talk about somatic experiencing as well. If you would give us definitions for both of those.
Okay, very good. Thank you. So constellation is a very new modality. At the same time, it's well known to our ancestors, where we connect with our ancestors in healing trauma. It means that we actually, within the family constellation system therapy, we connect with the soul of the person who bring the issue to resolve. And we connect this to all of our ancestors, of everybody that is present there. And the conflict or the problem that is being resolved there, it comes out in a phenomenological pattern. You know, it's a phenomenon. Nobody can explain. Wow. I don't know this person, they are representing me. All of a sudden, they say a phrase that my mother told me 40 years ago, and that reminded me of something I had forgotten about my mother, and then I was suffering because of that. So this is what happens. And then we say, yes, this is a phenomenon. At the same time, it's very scientifically, because we connect to the energy field. We're talking about the phenomena, you know, like... When we are doing the healing through family constellation system therapy, the person who come to look for healing is there. And we talk about the soul of the person that is there. But we also talk about the soul of their family system. And we talk about the soul of everybody else who is in the room as we are doing the family constellation system therapy. And what we actually look for is that what is keeping this person from moving forward, for example,
mm-hmm.
or from looking into death instead of looking into life. And we find it in belief system. We find it in attitudes. We find it in a phenomenon connected to the families of our ancestors, that some event could have happened where somebody was excluded, for example,
mm-hmm.
yeah, of our ancestors. Maybe they didn't behave the way they should behave in the family, right? Because we have a lot of right and wrongs. And that person was like told, okay, you don't belong to this family because you're shaming our family. So they moved out. Now, when you know that, it's nature of the things of life that the family disorganizes itself. There's a balance. There's a lack of balance in the family. So what happened that in a person of the later generation will also go to that destiny of that person who was excluded. And they keep on searching, because the reason they're doing that, they're looking for balance. They're looking for equilibrium. And they will behave exactly just like that person who was excluded.
And so it sounds to me like there's a, like, because of the ancestral lineage, if one person, like you were saying, if one person gets pushed out of their the place in their family,
right.
Then future generations that are born they're seeking how to fulfill that person's mission because it didn't get fulfilled.
Exactly.
So, Ifu, this idea that generations ago, perhaps I had a female ancestor who wanted to be an architect.
Right.
But 100 years ago, that wasn't okay for women. So right. Then there's a constant energy system that's trying to push forward through the lineage to get someone to complete that.
Right. The only problem is, now, when this person in the newer generation wants to complete it, they can never do it exactly the way the other person will have done it.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I will be taking a place of this ancestor, but my destiny will be left aside. So I might seek to become an architect, but my destiny was made to become a doctor.
I see. Wow.
Then I get lost there. Yeah. And that happens to either the one who was excluded, somebody who was excluded because they were drug addicts, for example. So then somebody else from the later generation become an addict also. It could be the same drugs or could be anything else. And then, you know, like, they feel comfortable with it, but it's like mysterious and everybody's worried, but they cannot find a solution. But once this person comes to our sessions, we actually help them, and the soul, the movement will take us way back there. And then when you are able to honor the place of that ancestor and let that ancestor take their own destiny, then this new person of the new generation here will be liberated from drug addicts.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So to me, part of what I also heard you say, who is, because I believe that spirit is energy. Energy is dynamic. It's always flowing. And so spirit is when that blockage or a disconnect is revealed, then that takes that blockage, just like a river flowing, it moves it so that then the whole family realigns.
Yes, exactly. It goes back to balance again.
And balance.
Relationships are kept well. Otherwise, before that, there's a sense of conflict and tragedies and all those things until we are able to bring it back again to equilibrium.
Okay, so And we're going to talk more about that in a minute, you guys. But so just so to be clear, in case anybody listening wants to explore family constellation healing work, it is done in a group live, right? You need to have people in the room and they represent different people in your family, something like that. Is that right? Am I understanding that?
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay.
That is the main way of doing it. But in the evolution of the work, Bert Hellinger himself allowed people, especially the psychologists who wanted to integrate this method in their work and different people, that you can also use it in your office. You can use it in your, you know, in your individual setting. And so instead of using people, you use images, you use objects, you use drawing, and it takes the same amount, the same way that the object, it really manifests that energy that needs to be brought into a place so that the person can heal their trauma.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's fascinating to me.
It is fascinating, I tell you. So that way, and then of course with pandemic situation, I learned how to do it online also. So I do it online.
Oh, fabulous.
With drawings and everything, and for so many results that we have. People find solutions for their conflicts and their traumas and so many things. So it works.
My gosh.
And I say that in the book too.
Yeah. So because you brought up equilibrium and balance, can we talk? I'm jumping ahead, Ifu, into your book. I'm just jumping and we'll go back to talk about somatic experiencing. But you have a chapter called The Orders of Love.
Yes.
I love that chapter. I love that chapter. I'm in that chapter. You wrote me in that chapter. And you guys, the reason why I love that chapter is because this, I was saying to you before we started recording, Ifu, that it's, there is a system of balance that we as cultures and global humans, I think, have put out of balance because of all of the, well, what we're seeing now, the wars and stuff like that. But there is such a simple balance, and you call it the orders of love. So let's talk about that.
Okay. Yes. Really, family constellation system therapies, it's based on these three orders of love. I always explain that at the beginning of any session that I'm doing, and in the middle of it, at the end of it, we explain. And these three orders of love means that for the love to flow,
yes,
love is always there. We always love. We see it there. But for this to flow, we need to actually, first of all, respect or honor those who come before us, reverencing those who come before us. You know, like you invite me to this space, I reverence you in some ways because this is your space. You invited me. You have been here in this space of interviewing before me. So yeah, I said, thank you for inviting me to this space. I reverence your space. And in that way, I come to your space with such dignity, yeah, because I'm able to reverence. So, and this happens if I'm able to reverence my mother, my father, my, you know, my grandparents, because they came before me. Then I take this simple gesture to the world, to the people I'm going to relate with, to the work that I do. And in that way, everybody, it flows better. I mean, love flows through everything you do if you are able to reverence those who came before us.
You know, it's interesting because part of my back cultural, I'm actually a cultural mutt, you know, I have ancestors from all over Europe, but one of them is the Irish, and the Irish, probably Scottish, probably everybody, but my ancestors passed down pieces of furniture, you know, this was it. This was great, great grandma's so and so. Like I have my great, great grandmother's sewing machine. It's a pedal sewing machine out here in my home because it's part of the heritage. It's part of where I come from. I got children, but I'm sharing that with you because so I was kind of taught, you know, you hand down this piece of this dish or this cloth or because it belonged to an ancestor.
Sisters, something very important. So that way, yeah, it's a way of reverencing, remembering in a very special way by keeping that, you know, that object.
Yes.
That's good. Yeah. So because also reverencing, it goes with really humble, being humble too, you know. When I'm able to say, okay, I recognize that you arrived here before me, you were here before. Not because you are better. No. It's just because you have, when you come before, there's some wisdom that comes with it. There's some knowing that comes with it, you know, and all of that. That's why we actually bow. We said, I noticed that. So that is the first order of love. And when you do that, love flows between parent, the father and son. I just attended a young boy today. He's like 22. And actually he was using marijuana. And his mother wanted me to talk to him. And what we discovered that in this session, just interview session, he said he didn't have much respect to his father because his father was this and weak and that and that, and, you know. And so when I actually come to explanation, and he said, you're right. Actually, I feel ashamed when I treat my father like that. So there's something deep about that. This young man just telling me, all of a sudden, he became aware that he doesn't respect his father, then he feel ashamed to talk to his father. Interesting. And then,
oh yeah,
then he's frustrated. Then, of course, when he's frustrated and feel empty and feel weak, he goes to Marconia. Because that's where marijuana, that's where he will get his strength. But then he goes back again. He was very open. So then I just did that gesture. If you could just say, imagine your father is here and say, Dad, I really reverence you because you came before me. He did like that. He lifted his head up and the tears came.
No.
He said, I don't know why I didn't know you before. You're suffering for nothing. And today was his birthday. So I say, you are reborn. Happy birthday.
Oh, my God. That makes me cry. Yeah. That makes me cry. Oh, my God. That's so profound. And it's a simple. It's a simple.
Simple. Simple. Synchronicity. Simple. And he was like, wow. I think my mother doesn't have to worry about me. I'm healed. I mean, just kind of simple like that, you know. It's just when he's able to do that, that was enough.
That was enough. Oh, my goodness.
And that will change his life completely.
Yes. Oh, it's a different trajectory now, completely. Yes. And, you know, oh, my God, you guys. See, this is why I was saying, this is just simple. Simple stuff that we need to put back into our homes, our communities. Yeah. So then that brings equilibrium, right? And balance.
It brings equilibrium and balance. Everybody has respect to others and all that. So then there's another one. Another one is belonging, another order. There are three, right? So that was one. The second one is, we call it belonging. Everyone has to belong, has a right to belong. That's why actually when somebody is excluded because of their behavior, then the system suffers.
Mm-hmm.
The system suffers itself. And everybody starts having all kinds of conflict and love doesn't flow that way. So it doesn't matter what the person does. It's just that when they are excluded, even the attitude we have other people, I will tell them on the side. So then the system kind of disorganized. We have conflict. So when we are able to actually bring that person back into the system, the whole system breathes again. Everybody feels good. everybody feels well. Yeah. And so we really emphasize this because there's so much exclusion because of all of our attitudes and all of the whatever and things that we do. So for love to flow, everybody has to be included and belonging in their own rightful place.
Yes. And you know, if I talk about this a lot about the new, what I'm calling the new system for living, the new paradigm that is being birthed on the planet right now. And it is about everybody having a place on a circle where everybody sees each other, they respect each other, they reverence each other, they allow each other to belong. And it's so important because it's especially, I've always felt like an outsider. I've always felt like in my own family. Now, we can talk about that another time, Ifu, but but I have always felt outside, you know, and not included. And so the belonging piece is huge for me.
It is
huge.
Very important. So, well, sometimes we'll talk about that. But anyway, so that's, we need, and people, you know, when you belong, actually, you feel, the word comes up again, your potential to the universe. You feel like you are there. You can ground yourself. You are able to give what you were supposed to give from in this universe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's just potential, you know, your potentiality. You are there because you belong. When we don't belong, we kind of roam around and do this and do that and move on, but we don't feel comfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, but you also talk about balance section of the Orders of Love. This is where I felt like you talked about me. I'm probably throughout this whole book. You just knew me before you wrote the book, I'm sure. But so you say in the book, try to help their parents. It does not come naturally.
Yeah.
To do this, they have to work harder than usual. They will have to tense up their muscles in order to cope with such a burden. They are constantly in mysterious pain since the actual pain does not belong to them. There is a lack of satisfaction and their emotions are already always ready to burst forth. That's been me most of my life because, you know, I was carrying my mother's burden for so long and didn't know it until I was in my mid-50s, you know, and then I went, this isn't mine. This isn't mine. This is hers. And I had to really give a lot of that back to her, which she didn't like.
Yeah.
But in order for me to fulfill my destiny and my mission, I had to stop carrying her burden, what she wanted me to be. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, you're very right. So, and that is the order we call about balance between receiving and giving. Yeah.
Yes.
So, like you talk about your mother, really, when you can allow become aware that you have already received from your mother the life she gave you, the love, everything. We receive a lot from our parents, really. But sometimes if there was a trauma in the family, and of course we are stuck only on that part of trauma, and we say, no, I didn't get anything from, my mother doesn't love me, loves my sister more than me. My mother didn't give me this. My mother didn't give me this. We're stuck on the smallness. But really, when you look at life, it's everything, right?
Uh-uh. Yeah, yeah.
It's all potential too. So when we don't allow ourselves to receive what has been given, then we become needy. So then we begin to try and give the parents everything. We want them to be happy because we want them to love us. I mean, love us. They already love us, but we want something we want from them that we don't even know what we want from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and when we go to other people, we do the same thing. Yeah. So But if we actually we are able to acknowledge what has been given, and that's what we call receiving or drinking of it, drinking everything that was given, then that balances in a way that when you go out, you are able to give without getting tired. You give like, you know, the fountain, you know, the fountain. Yes. It's just coming, the water is coming down from the you know, the bottom, it comes here. And it's the pot is full, and you take some water out and you throw it everywhere, but it keep on getting full again. So that's a balance between receiving and giving.
Yes, yes, yes. And I love that. I love the way you talked about that in that chapter of your book. And this is about, you guys, this is about healing trauma. Everything that Ifu's talking about is about healing trauma, your personal trauma, but now, as I under, you know, as we're talking, it's ancestral trauma, and then it goes forward, right? So that the later generations that come after us won't have to deal with that particular trauma.
Exactly. Yes, they are freed. We're creating a better world for our children and grandchildren and souls.
And boy, do we need a better world. So then let's now go back to talking about somatic experiencing. And would you explain to everybody what the somatic work is?
Yes, somatic experiencing or somatic work, like you're putting it, it's a way of healing traumas and all kinds of traumas. Mm-hmm. And how do we heal this? We heal this by holding our space where the person feels safe enough to begin to relieve the energy that is trapped in the nervous system, the energy that it is trapped in the person's body, in the person's organs, yeah? Because, going back to explain this, trauma, it's really a reaction of how the event that was traumatic happened. You know, the event comes to us very fast, and we react. We want to end ourselves to do that. So that reaction, it's so powerful that it remains in our bodies in form of energy. And it's energy that really traps us. Like, kind of, sometimes you might find people just feel like, they feel like they're pushed back all the time, or they're stamped down all the time, or they're stuck looking just like this, and they cannot blink. Just energy is tapped in so many different ways. So when people have fear, have anger, have shame, have all the emotion that you can imagine that come from the trauma, from the events, the traumatic events themselves. So when you give the space, when you create up a space for this person to feel safe, they begin to release. By crying, trembling, coughing, whatever. It comes out because they feel now safe. Because when they're in the traumatic moment, they come out of that without safety. They don't feel safe. They don't,
right.
They don't feel enough. So what we need to do is to create those spaces with love, with support, with safety, with freedom, and then the trauma is healed. It is beautiful.
So I was sharing with Ifu before we started, you guys, I've been doing somatic work for a few years now, working with a somatic healer. And it is about checking in, becoming aware. Okay, so this is something I didn't know, Ifu, before this, but I had lots of trapped emotions like rage, unexpressed anger caught in my body that was out picturing as, you know, joint pain or whatever. And so it's about becoming aware and present to how the body actually feels, right, in the present moment, right?
Right, in the present moment, yes. Yes, there's that. So when we create this space, the person, you're helping them to be in touch with their own body, because that's how the trauma is liberated. And we try to do everything in the present moment. Because when we are telling stories about trauma, like you're talking about, all those things happened in your past, when we are telling the story, we really focus so much on the events and on other people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But when we create this person, we invite a person to become aware of their own bodily sensations, which is really the key. And in the present moment, then the healing happens because you're paying attention to your own body. You're paying attention to how everything in your body is happening, like breathing, for example. When we have trauma, we don't even breathe, and we don't even know we are not breathing.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're healing trauma, you're helping them to notice your breath, notice your feet on the ground. You just keep feeling more comfortable. And then the body, it's almost like you're bringing that, bringing wellness back into the body.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Yeah, bringing wellness back into the body. It's amazing how the somatic work is so subtle. You know, but profound, you know, and I can do a 30-minute session and I sit down and I'm telling the story. I'm focused on the people in my story. I'm not focused on me. But when I'm done with that 30-minute session, I'm in my body. I feel connected to my heart. I'm breathing better. You know, it's like, and then all that, whatever, anger, anxiety, whatever it is that was part of that story is no longer needed. It's not there.
No more. You don't need it. Okay. Now, people talk about the event. Like, keep repeating it because, like, you know, and then you don't get anything out of it because we are only focusing on the cortical brain that really make a lot of meanings, that judge very fast. But when we go into the body, we release all that energy, anger, rage. And actually, after we are able to release all this energy, we don't have any need to revenge anymore.
Yeah. That's really good, too. Yeah. That's really good. We don't need to be vengeful.
Because the energy, the fight energy in our muscles is already liberated. So we relax, we are happy. We feel comfortable. We look at the other and say, oh, well, go on. That's okay.
Yeah. It does facilitate forgiveness on multiple levels because there's a lot of people in the world right now, Yifu, in different places that need this somatic kind of healing. They need to be liberated from revenge.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, when you work with people non-locally now on Zoom, how can they get to you? Do you have a website they can maybe make an appointment with you?
Yeah, I have a website. In the website, they can find the telephone number there. I mean, that my telephone number, my email. Yeah, and the website is www.healingtraumawell.com.
Okay, and we'll have that in the show notes, everybody. So, Yifu, the book is called Healing Trauma Through Family Constellations and Somatic Experiences. You guys, there's some lovely, you tell some stories about your family of origin. Can you talk about that? The last name, Nike?
Yeah.
Did I say it right? Nike. So tell everybody what your family of origin, your history about that.
Right. So, yeah, I'm of course, I was born and raised in Tanzania on the slopes of the mountain Kilimanjaro. Beautiful place. You know, right? Yeah. Then visit there. Anyway, so, you know, that there we have different clans. You know, okay, it's one tribe, Jaga, but within the tribe, there's different clans. And my clan is called Nyaki, yeah? And that's that name, yeah? Nyaki. And this was a very small clan, and they believed that it became, that's the story I told there, that this, it became small because all many years ago, they always talk about going to the war. And the war they had at that time was going to steal each other's cows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they will run after each other with the, you know, with the spear and stuff like that. So because our clan was small, the ancestors wanted to protect us. So they sent this snail, which it was put in the back of the house. And the snail is right there on the book.
Oh my goodness, it sure is.
It is.
I didn't notice that.
Right, the snail clan. Anyway, so then the snail will kept there. And when they went to the war and somebody was injured, they will bring the person from the clan, the Nyaki clan, and they put the snail there, and the snail will just leave its, you know, it has that lime stuff that comes, you know?
Yeah.
And just go over the injured place, and the injured place will get healed.
Wow.
Like magic.
Wow.
So my grandfather used to tell us that story. And so then we'll go back again, and the people were quite angry. What? What's that? We eat in that one. But so in that sense, it kept the clan going and not being killed and injured in the trauma, in the war. Well, you know, the teaching of the story, actually, I just love it that way. It's like the way my grandfather taught it, you know, told us was that he wanted us actually to understand that even if you're hurt, even if you have had some trauma, you can heal them. There's always ways to heal it. So, and I think I came out from this learning, from these stories and bringing it out. And I come out and I learn about Peter Levine's somatic experiencing. And I went right into, I tell you, when I heard about it, the first training, beginning level one, I came out and I attended so many women in my community. Just the first beginning level. I mean, the training is for 3 years, but the first module I did a lot of, I said like, this does me. So everybody was like, well, how come you learn it so fast? Because it was already in my blood, I think. The healing, the seed of healing was already there. So I was encouraged, really. Yeah, this story has to go into the book.
Absolutely. So you actually come from a clan of healers. And so this goes back to the whole family constellation thing. So somebody somewhere in your ancestry got out of the way so you could just naturally go into that flow of healing and even more.
And even more. Now I'm liberated to do even more. And I think they are happy because I bring them out to the world.
Right, right. Yes. Oh my God, I have chills. Oh, thank you. Ifunaki, thank you so much. You guys, the book is worth reading through. And she's got exercises, really great, easy somatic exercises at the end of chapters. So it's called Healing Trauma Through Family Constellation and Somatic Experiencing. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I feel honored.
Yeah. I'm just going to end with.
And so it is. Namaste.
Well, that wraps up our empowering chat today. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, go to susanborrell.com. You can see all of the information about my new book, Live an Empowered Life, a 30-Day Journey. You can also access guided meditations that I have on Insight Timer through the website and just see what else is out there on my site that you might find empowering and exciting to experience. You can also contact me through the website at susan@susanborrell.com. So that's it for today. See you next time.